Welcome to 2012. Amen. Amen. Raise your expectations for 2012. We believe in God with some awesome things in 2012. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, y'all ready for the word of God this morning?
Amen.
Amen. New word for a new year. Father God, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity to come and to study your word. We thank you for your people, Father, that they are good ground about to receive a good word and that their lives will never be the same again as they put the word of God into practice. Now, Father, even as we approach this new year, we thank you for the vision that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for moving us ever closer to the plan and purpose that you have for us individually and even as a local church, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to share with you, and I don't know how long I'm going to be on this. I'm not even going to really set a time limit on it or anything like that, because there's a lot of different topics that we're going to discuss this year under this heading. And we're going to talk about living by a higher standard. Living by a higher standard. And because what we look at today, we know that the Bible says as time goes on, the world is going to get darker. Amen. We know things, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Not might, not possible. Perilous times shall come. And it shall come for us as believers. And one of the greatest things that come against us is this idea to persuade us from living by a higher standard than the world. And I see a lot of Christians who compromise in their lives. They compromise the standards of God's word to accommodate themselves. Listen, I want you to turn me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 21 and 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21 and 22. Now when you get there, say amen. Now here's what it says. I know you're still turning, but I'm going to do this for the sake of time. It says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now we said, everybody know what abstain means, right? Stay away from anything that appears evil. Now here's the problem with this verse, and not necessarily with this verse itself, but within the times that we live, in the generation that we live. The problem many times in this generation is that evil is perceived based on the society's standards or the social standards. And so when we say evil today, they run that through the society. And then they say, well, society says this is now okay. But when God talks about evil, and we always need to maintain God's definition of evil. God's definition of evil simply means this. Anything that do not line up with him is evil. Be it a thought, be it a word, be it an action. If it doesn't line up with something that he approves of, it's evil. Now listen, and this is what I've seen. As the society goes, so do a lot of believers go according to the society. And that's dangerous, y'all. But I'm not surprised by these things because the Bible tells us that these things would happen, that in the last days, many would depart from the faith. Come on, amen. Many times they want to live like the devil, but they still want to wear the name Christian. But if you want to wear the name Christian, then you got to know what the name Christian means. It means to be Christ-like. In this heading of living by a higher standard, I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff. I'm going to talk about relationships. I'm going to talk about marriage. I'm going to talk about masonry. I'm going to talk about Eastern Star. I'm going to talk about sororities. I'm going to talk about sex. So I'll tell you before we get to sex, so you know if you don't want your kids to hear about it, you know, that's up to you. But I'd rather them hear it at church in the context of the word than hear it in the locker room. It's a little nappy-head boy, don't know what he's doing, personally. But we're going to talk about all those things because I think people, they have so lowered the standard. Now, I'm not surprised that the world lowers their standard, but when you see it creeping in the church, and it's not just sitting in the pews anymore, but it's standing in the pulpit, and it's preaching the word of God, preaching something to people that's really not the word, to accommodate a social standard that is below God's standard. And I think as men of God who stand up and share the word of God with you, we are always to lift up the highest standard of God for the people. Amen. Come on, amen. We don't compromise because the society says it's okay. We don't change our mind because, well, you know, the society, I don't care what the society says. If God is against it, I'm against it. Let me say that again. If God is against it, I'm against it. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. But at least I can judge myself and say that what I did is wrong. And so we want to make sure that we do it. Now, what I'm going to deal with today, I'm just going to go through the word and talk about, look at all the verses, a lot of the scriptures that talk about holding a standard. I'm not going to get into the in-depth stuff. I'm going to go on into where relationships and all these other things are concerned. But I want to just confirm this by the word of God about standards. There has to be a standard in your life. And either you can set your standard or God can set your standard. If you set your standard, then you can be rest assured that Satan has set your standard. And his standards change according to your desires. How many of you know that things that used to be wrong to people, they're okay with them now? When the last time you heard somebody step in pulpit and talk about fornication? Don't even use the word anymore. I asked somebody, what is fornication? They didn't want to tell me. You know why? Because they were in something that they knew was wrong. And so for them to have to tell me what it means, that means you're held accountable for what you know. You know, fornication is sex outside of marriage. All right? So again, another thing is abortion. It's a big one. You know, have y'all ever seen a little commercial with the, they had a little, they sing that little song, In the Arms of the Angel. And then they show all these little pets. I'm like, come on, people. That's like worshiping the created thing rather than the creator. They add more value to a dog than they do to an unborn child. People say, well, now that's a woman's body. That's a woman's body. Really? What did God say to David? He said, I knew you when you was in your mother's womb. Now, when did he get in his mother's womb? At the point of conception. God says, I knew you then. So if God sees, now see, what does social standard do? It lowered the standard. And so, no, it's a woman's right. It's her body. No, it's not her body. Why? Now, we got nurses there, so y'all can help me if I'm wrong. But when a baby is conceived in the womb, it has its own DNA strain that is separate from the mother. So it's not really part of her body. It's just connected to her body, and it's relying on the mom to provide it what it needs, but its DNA is completely separate. So then, I mean, it has to be a separate entity. Because DNA is separate. I mean, it's not a hard argument, but what happens? The social standard changes. Lower the standard. Now, if anybody's ever done that, look, I'm not condemning you, please. Don't feel like there's grace and mercy for God to forgive you and all that. But I'm just saying, you still got to raise the standard back up. You know, to love God more than you love the social standard that allows you to do what you want to do. Now, listen, look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 20. See, I just don't believe a church can be what a church needs to be if a church don't have a high standard. I just don't believe it. I don't believe you can raise up high standard people if you don't have a high standard word. Like the church that told me, we don't pay tithes, we pay dues. You know what dues is, don't you? You pay what you want to pay. God don't say pay what you want to pay, but God said, I want 10% and an offering. Not out of force, but out of love. All right, but look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, isn't that what they do? Let's use abortion. Isn't that what they do with abortion? They call good evil. So when we stand up and say, wait a minute, now you can't just condone murder. Oh, you're trying to step on my rights. You're stepping on my rights. It's my body. Really? Well, how did that get in there if it was just your body? If it was just in your body, it'd be a tumor or a cancer. But it didn't get in your body. It took the seed of somebody else. But he said, look, what he said, he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. There's many ways to God. Many ways to God, really. It's all about love anyway, really. Do you know what love is? You're being dogmatic with this Jesus thing. Surely Jesus isn't the only way. Well, Jesus lied then because he said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. But what would you do? We start talking about Jesus. Now, here, notice this, y'all. And listen, you got to watch it. You notice that in a lot of places now, they don't do a whole lot of talking about Jesus as much as they talk about God. You know why? Because God isn't offensive. Because God can be whatever you want him to be. But when you begin to say Jesus. Now, why is Jesus so critical? Because the Bible says, God highly exalted Jesus and gave him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and that every tongue go confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's why they want Jesus, because God exalted his name. Jesus became the standard of living. His life became the standard of living. And what did Jesus say where his life was concerned? My meat, or my substance for living, is to do the will of my Father. So then that we have to adopt that same standard to say, no, what's my purpose of living? It's to do what God desired for me to do. To see things the way God sees it. Come on, to hear things the way he hears it. And to do the things that he would do. And turn from the things that I know he don't approve of. But listen, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And we can see that in our society. I mean, you look at the government system. We were talking about this at Bible study. But you look at the government system. The government system in and of itself is just messed up. See, when God made the world, y'all, the world has everything in it to meet the need of every person on the planet. But why doesn't it? We have a country that throws away food like the boatload, restaurants at night. Got to throw it away. Can't take it down to the homeless shelter. You got to throw it away. Government says, well, somebody might get sick on it. Excuse me, they're eating out of garbage cans. Can't be no worse than that. But what's happening? Why is it? Because I'm telling you, somewhere behind all that is greed. Because, see, there's a government system set up to feed the poor. But it's not really doing a good job, but somebody's getting paid behind the scene. What's happening? People's standards. See, the greatest value that God has on this planet, y'all, listen, it's not money. The greatest value on the planet is people. See, everything, 5 days, when God looked at the Bible, he looked at all the things he had made where the earth was concerned. He said it was good. But when he made man and he looked at it again, he called it very good. Why? Because man was the centerpiece of his creation. Not the created things. Those created things was for his man. And we worship the created things more than we do the creator. We value the created things, the cats and the dogs, and give money to save a I'm not for the abuse of anything. I don't believe you abuse the grass. I don't think you just need to be throwing trash everywhere. I don't believe in abuse of anything. I don't believe you abuse animals. Just something wrong with you. But at the same time, I'm not going to put a dog above a human being. Dog ain't sleeping in my bed. Ain't that kind of love going on. You get out of my bed, go outside where you belong. Come on, amen. People start worth kissing their dog. No, that's idolatry. Rather have a dog than have a mate. Because you know people like that, y'all. Dress them up in little suits. Spend thousands of dollars taking care of their dog. But then we'll support a woman to kill her child and call it a right. Now, you know, listen. And all that, again, standards. Know what happened with all that? Man's standards were changed. And the men stopped being men. And when the men got out of the way, guess what? It opened the door for Satan to come in and destroy everything. Satan was never after the Eve. He was always after Adam. He's always after the head. Get the head out of the way, you can get the rest of the family. The Bible says in the New Testament that when Satan comes, he comes to bind the strong man of the house. Why? Because if he gets the man out of the way, guess what? It opens up the door for the enemy to come in and attack the rest of the family. So then you can't really deal with women without first dealing with the men who didn't stand up and be the men of God they should have been originally. Men are supposed to be the high priest of their household. They're not the dictators, they're not in that, but they should be the spiritual head of the house, whereby if there's some praying that needs to be done, he needs to be praying. If they're going to church, he needs to be the one getting up early saying, oh, come on, families, get up, gotta go to church. That was his role. But see, that got out of order. And so once you change one standard, guess what? All the other standards change. And they get lowered and lowered. And then women began to expect less from men. Because they look at a standard in men today that is so low. They just glad to have somebody. No, come on now. Look, you single, don't you settle for nothing less than a godly man who loves Jesus with his whole heart. Don't lower the standard at all. I've talked to women. I'm not trying to get all this, but I'm here. Oh well, praise the Lord. But I talked to women, and they said, well, I know he ain't the right one. Well, why you can't? Well, I just don't want to be alone. But I'm just believing God for me to send me somebody. How can God send you somebody when you holding on to the wrong thing? No, you got to get rid of that one. See, God ain't going to bless you. Come on, God ain't going to bless you in your mess and then get in your mess with you and bring you a good person to be in your mess with you with another mess you got over there too. God says, no, you get that mess out of your life so I can make room for me to bless you with the right one. Wouldn't do it. Standards. And let me tell you, the thing that keeps the standard in your life, that keeps it up here, is your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're already married, praise the Lord, we understand you got to, you know, use your faith, work that thing as much as you can. Amen. All right. But look what he says. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Standards. I mean, I remember a girl, no kidding, she was wanting to date me. She wanted me to slap her. Told me I wasn't a man if I didn't hit her. Like, yeah, you got to go. My standards ain't that low. I ain't called to be no abuser. Amen. Come on, amen. But there are men out there that would have liked that. Really? I get to pop you around? Standards messed up. Then this is. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:12. Again, I'm just really kind of laying the foundation. I'm trying to lay the foundation just based on the word of God. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. When you get this, amen. This is. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now, what is he saying? That when your standard become people, the people around you, that's a jacked up standard. You know why? Because you can always find somebody doing worse than you. Because, you know, and here's what happened with people when they lower their standards. They typically surround themselves with people who have low standards too. If it's relationships, they surround themselves with people who have the same type of relationship. And they don't surround themselves with people who have really good, godly, healthy relationships. Listen to this. But look what he says. He said, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We are to never compare ourselves with other people. The standard for our life is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He is just, if I don't measure up to him, guess what? I need to keep on working at it. Because you can always find somebody who does worse than you that makes you feel good about the crap you're doing. Is that true? Come on now. See, I don't want to be a ministry that just let everything and anything come in and do whatever. I want a standard. I want people when they walk in and they can get healed because we've held a standard that God is a healer. Come on, amen. I do. I don't want to lower my standards. You say, well, you don't get a lot of people holding up standards. Oh, well. Jesus had 12. That'll work for me. Isn't that true? Because here's the thing. As long as the people who come are growing and getting better and they're having an impact out there in the world, that's all that matters to me. Come on, amen. I'd rather help master 12 people who can walk in the word of God and know how to speak the word of God and declare the word over their home and do 12 like that, who can go out and affect the lives of people, than have 5,000 that don't want to hear anything I'm saying, but they glad to go because they like the name on the building. No, thank you. Amen. So listen, let me ask you a question. What is your standard for your living? What's your standard? What is your standard? Who do you measure yourself by to make you say that leaves you saying, I'm okay the way I am? Because you got to be comparing yourself to somebody. Ooh, praise the Lord. They're good. Come on now. My standard is Jesus. And if Jesus doesn't approve, it's not okay. You know, let me tell you, let me share with you why people's standards get all, you know, kind of get all tilted and stuff. The Bible, with Christians, I'm talking with Christians now. The Bible says you and I have been bought with a price, right? And what were we paid with? We were paid with the blood of Jesus Christ, right? He bought me. That means he owns me, right? Everybody agree with that? Say amen for me. Amen. All right. Okay. If he bought me, then it's no different than me giving you my car and I let you drive it. That does not give her the right to take my car and drag race it, soup it up, right? That doesn't give her the right to change the hubcaps on it and put spinners on it and put fuzzy dice in the window and fuzzy seats. She has a right to drive it, but there are certain things she's not able to do unless I approve. Jesus Christ, I've been bought by Jesus Christ. There are some things I can't get into unless he approves. There are relationships I can't get into unless he approves. There are things I can't buy unless he approves. There are folk I can't go home with unless he approves. Why? Because I've been bought with a price. And I'm driving the car, but I don't own the car I'm driving. He bought me. That keeps my standard up there. See, I could drive the car. She could drive my car to the club. But since people know my car, guess what? She gonna mess up my standard. So she said, well, I'm going to, can I go? No. Not in my car. Now, you want to take the city bus, you do what you want to, but you ain't taking my car down to the club for it with my name on the front of the plate. No, that ain't going to work. Why? Because of a standard. And what most people don't want is they don't want Jesus in that place where he is their standard for living, because it makes them kind of feel good in what they're doing. But you got to raise your standard, y'all. Yeah, that was a good place to say amen. This is, I cannot allow society's standards to be my standards. My standards must be established on the word of the Lord. Now listen to this. Society holds us at a high standard, even though they mock us in the same breath. They do. They have an expectation of us. You know, they have an expectation of, and they go test you to see whether you really believe what you say you believe. I'm a Christian. They go put it to the test. That's what they do. They want to know. Why? Because I think people want to see something that's real. All right, hallelujah. This is, the world needs to see the power of a God who changes lives, not a God that allows you to do, say, and live as you, any way you desire simply because he loves you. Let me read that again. The world needs to see the power of a God who changes lives, not a God that allows you to do, say, and live any way you desire simply because he loves you. See, the issue is not that he loves us. The issue is, do we love him? Let me say it again. The issue is not that he loves you. We know he loves us. But the question, do you love him? Do you love him enough to say, you know what, Lord? Yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, Lord, I'll live my life the way you want me to. Why? So I can bless you. I mean, they don't bless God when we live ways that don't line up with him. But then we tell people, oh, yeah, I'm born again. Really? You ever have people tell you, I'm a Christian? Go, really? Were you just down there last night drinking, smoking? Okay, well, if you say so. But see, they need to see it. And I really believe they need to see it more than we say it. Have you ever met people and you didn't know they were Christians, but there was something about them, you said, man, something different about that person. Then you get to talking to them, find they're Christian, they're like, man, I could tell you was a Christian. No kidding, I went through a drive-thru one time. And I went through this drive-thru, quite often. My lunch break, and there was this little guy. He was always worked the window, always had a big smile, just really polite. And I kept saying, that dude got to be saved. It's just something about it. So I came, one of the last time I went through there, I said, man, I said, I ain't trying to offend you. And I said, man, you say? He said, yeah, man, I love Jesus. I'll praise the Lord. I knew there was something different about you. He didn't have to say anything. His life just gave off a glory that I knew could only come from the Lord. Ooh, praise the Lord. Don't you want your life to be like that? I want my life to be like that, man. I want folks to look at me and say, man, there's something different about you. All right. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. And we'll read verses 1 through 7. Y'all doing okay? What are we talking about? Living by a higher standard. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start looking at verse number 1. We'll start at verse number 1 through 7. And here's what Paul tells Timothy. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Not they might, not that there's a chance. They will come. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. How many of the greatest parents you guys are born again believers is Jesus? Me and the Father. Right? So you can do what your Father tell you. Come on, amen. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, we see that in Christians. I see that in a lot of churches now. Where you stand up and share something, you know, that's kind of bold and kind of strong, man, folk get offended. I've been to church and began to preach about living a lifestyle of obedience to God, and I've seen people just fold their arms. Just folding on, give me a look like I'll cut your throat. I'll shank you if you come down my way. I mean, they had that look on their face. And you know, it's like, man, I'm in church and folk get all mad at me. I remember preaching at one church one time. No kidding, man. When I got through preaching, the people just everybody filed out down the aisle. You know, normally when you're a guest speaker, they come and shake your hand at least, you know. Not one person came and shook my hand. They all just filed out. Because I was talking about living obedient, about knowing how to serve at church, about, you know, honoring God in the tithes and offering and being faithful to the Lord. Wasn't anything, you know, wasn't anything I felt was complicated. They didn't like that, though. All right, listen to this. They are despised of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Can't run with Christians like that. Turn away from them. Why? Because they're going to drag you down. Now listen, he's not talking about somebody that's struggling. He's talking about somebody that this is how they live. They have no problem living like this. None whatsoever. And he says, from such who practice this way of life, he's to turn away from them. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. Come on, hallelujah. Then he goes on to define them. He says, well, this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity, silly women burdened with sins. So they take advantage of people's struggles. They take advantage of people's struggles. And we know that, and that happens a lot. I would hate to belittle that point, but that happens a lot. I mean, men of God, you know, abuse women like that. You know, they take their position that they're in, and they take that position, and they began to see women who have trouble and began to take advantage of them because of their trouble. When she's really trying to find Jesus, but he only shows her him and takes advantage of her. But then he calls them silly women because the fact is that you've got, as a woman, they have a responsibility to get to know Jesus for themselves and start putting their confidence in him and not in a man. All right. You know, it's amazing to me that some women can't be alone. It saddens me that they can't handle being by themselves, which is an indication that on the inside, you're broken. And a broken person don't mind having somebody in life who will come along and use them up and break them more and throw them away, and they'll just look for someone else to say, please love me. No, thank you. I had a rule. Even if I got married, I got a rule. I had a rule. My rule is, and don't say my son, go say funny when I say it, because I'm not trying to be funny. But in my mind, this is how I play it out. You can't have none of this till there's a ring on your finger. You cannot. You ain't paying your bills. I ain't keeping your lights on. I ain't paying your car note. If you want the benefits of me, guess what? You better marry me. Because without that, you ain't getting these benefits. You can't get no loving from me. You get a sideways hug. That's about it. But that's about it. I mean, seriously, I know. Why? Because, listen, because my standard's high. I love him, and I love me too much because I've been bought by him, and I don't have a right to take me and do what I want to with me since he bought me. So it's my responsibility to make sure his car still look good when I return it. Amen. Can't have me. Don't be someone's buffet table. Don't let people come into your life, eat all off your table. Then when the real guy come along who really want to pay the bill, he ain't got nothing. Because you let everybody come in your life and take away everything. Don't do it. Do you know you are losing your value every time you allow people to come into your life and just take from you? They don't want no covenant with you. They just want to take. And you just let them keep taking. Then talking about where they try and convince yourself that they love you. No. People that love you give. They don't just take. They give. And response to them giving to you, you want to give back to them. Some people are just leeches, yo. Listen to this. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive, silly women, laid with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we see that with people. This is the most educated generation that I know of. But they dumb. Not all of them. But you know what I'm saying? I'm saying in general. Okay, don't say, Pastor, everybody dumb. They got an educator. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they're book-wise, they're educated. But in terms of understanding how to function in everyday life, they ignorant. It's like, wait a minute now. Life is more about, it's more than just education. I mean, there are people out there with masters and doctors and can't even find a job. See, you got to know how to function in everyday life. Now, here's what I told Shauna one time. I said, I would rather for my son to be a C student and know how to function in everyday life than to be an A student, but he don't know how to live in life every day. Can't balance a checkbook, don't know how to cut no grass, can't pay a bill. Oh, no, no, you got to balance this thing out to know how to live every day. All right, praise the Lord. That's just my little tidbit. You can take it or leave it. Now look at Psalms 38:20. And this is how you need to look at people. And I encourage you to always love people, but don't allow people to just come into your life and just cause you to lower your standards. Anybody want to get with you ain't married to you, need to get rid of them. That was a good place to say amen. Y'all need to say amen to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm in agreement with that. Come on, amen. Now listen to Psalm 38:20 says, they also that render evil for good are adversaries to me, because I follow the thing that is good. So you need to see people like that. If they're not willing, listen, if a person isn't following Jesus, they will not love you. It's impossible. Listen, it's impossible for them to love you if they don't love Jesus. Because only Jesus can show you how to love somebody. All right. So listen, they are adversaries. The people who are not committed doing good, they're your adversary. Now you can take an adversary and turn them around and make them a friend. But you got to do it through the love of God. But if they're not willing to change what they're doing, you go have to, listen, I really believe we're moving into a time where we might not have as nearly as many friends that we used to have, because folk just keep lowering the standard. The standard's just getting lower and lower and lower and lower. It's just going to where it's going to be on the ground, to where you're going to come to a place where anything goes. Even in church, listen, folks, and we see this even in a lot of people who used to be really strong Christians, where now, you know, well, Jesus isn't the only way anymore. There's other ways to God. And we're just closed-minded, and we're narrow-minded. And, you know, no, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Well, now, you just being narrow-minded. Well, thank God. Narrow is the way that leads to salvation. I'll stay narrow. See, there was a time in our history that being a Christian was the end thing. Everybody wanted to be Christian. I'm a Christian. Every politician, I'm a Christian. Everybody was a Christian. Yeah, soon those standards change, guess what? It wasn't in no more. I used to be pro-life. Now I'm pro-choice now because, you know, I can get more votes that way. Really. Don't have standards. That's why I always encourage you to keep your relationship with the Lord, to work it, because he will make sure that when your standards start slipping, he will let you know you're slipping on your standards. Because, see, if your standards are slipping but you have no connection to him, if I tell you, oh, you just go dismiss me as a man. All right. So they said, they also that render evil for good are adversaries to me, because I follow the thing that is good. That's what you need to follow. You need to follow what's good. And what's good? There's nothing any more good than Jesus. To follow the word of God, to spend time in the word. How many of you spend time in the word? I don't raise your hands. Just ask, but how much time do you really spend in the word of God through the week? I mean, how much time do you really sit down with the word of God? I'm not talking about reading it religiously, but really reading it, saying, Father, I want to know you. I want to know your ways. Not so I can give myself a check mark because I did a good deed. I just believe if we can give 8 hours to a job, my God, we can give at least 20 minutes to the word daily. I just believe that. It's all about priorities. Amen. Now, go 3 John chapter 1. And this is going to be the last thing I'm going to give you, and we'll be done. 3 John chapter 1. And we'll look at verse number 11. And just know, I'll probably be swinging the hammer pretty hard this year. Amen. Because if I don't swing the hammer, y'all listen to this stuff will never get broken up. And I don't want those things creeping into the church. So sometimes you got to swing the hammer to kind of say, you know what, let's get this right. Amen. Now listen, 3 John 1 and verse 11. It says, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Now, again, how do you define evil? Come on now. How do you define evil? Your standards will determine what's evil in your life. If your standards isn't based on Jesus, your standard of evil go drop to where it accommodates you. See, he said, follow not that which is evil. Well, I don't see anything wrong with evil. It's just, we ain't doing nothing. We just sleeping. Remember when we was doing the relationship classes? Some of you guys came to that. Pastor Greg and I was doing them for about a few months. And we were doing relationship classes. And you know, Kenya, God started blessing it. We had people coming. I thought they were his people. He said, ain't my people. They ain't my people. I don't know who they are. Well, praise the Lord. So people just start coming. And in the midst of that class, one of the girls raised her hand because I got something about, you can't be letting a guy just be, rubbing all up on you, lying in the bed with you. And the girl got a funny look on her face. She looked at me and she raised her hand. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, we can't lay in the same bed together. No. Now, mind you, this was a person who had been going to church for years. Years. And they didn't know it was wrong. Really? Yeah, you can't do that. What? Do you have a covenant with him? Do you have a covenant with him? Well, I love him. That ain't a covenant. Covenant, when that boy got by, he go get some paper. He go take some money out of his pocket, pay for the license, take you down to the altar. Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish me? I do. Till he put a ring on, he ain't married to you. No. He don't get that benefit till he marries you. And if he's trying to get with you without having a covenant with you, that probably means he don't have a covenant with God and you really don't want him. Why would I want a person to have a covenant with me but they don't want my God? It don't work. This is, so he said, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. What's he saying? That there's a revelation of who God is you haven't seen yet. Or you wouldn't be, you can't call yourself a Christian and do certain things that are totally contrary to the word and you feel good about it. Have you ever met people like that? They say they're Christian, they parade stuff around. Now, sometimes, to be honest, they just don't know. Because the sad thing, truth is, most churches don't teach this no more. And you say, okay, let me back up. I don't know most churches. But a lot of churches don't teach this anymore. They don't teach about how to live every day. That's why I say I want to be a very practical ministry, where we deal with the everyday issues that people deal with. Because we don't deal with the everyday practical issues. I can get up and go, hey, y'all early. I can do all that, and people shout, ah! But nothing changes in their life. So we got to teach you a word that challenges you, that you go out of here and look into your everyday life and say, okay, how can I make my everyday life look more like Jesus? Now, are you ready? All right? Now, here's my last thing. We'll close on this and we'll pick this up next week. When evil becomes an acceptable lifestyle, there is no shame in parading it around publicly. Say it again. When evil becomes an acceptable lifestyle, there is no shame in parading it around publicly. That's when you know they're way off the beaten path. That's when you know the standard's gone. Because they feel no shame about it. See, I can deal with people who struggle with stuff and, they tell me private, I'm dealing with this. That's great. Because that lets me know that your standard is still there. You're just struggling on how to come up to that standard. And we can work with that. But when your standard is in the gutter, and we're telling you your standard in the gutter, and you're telling me, I'm all right, no, I'm cool. Nothing wrong with me. Something wrong with you. You just narrow-minded. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, I am. Yes, sir, I am. I choose to be narrow-minded. Why? Because, listen, God does not set standards to take away your fun. He gives you standards to safeguard you, to protect you, and so that you can get the most out of life. A standard is not there to hurt you. It's really there to make you better. And everybody needs to have a standard that's based on the word. Everybody. So that's why we'll be dealing with this probably for a while, however long the Holy Ghost says go. Because we got to live by high standard. For listen, I want to see families restored. Come on, amen. I want to see men rise to the place of men that they're supposed to be. wives rise to the place where they want to be the type of wives that God desires and not the type of wife that society says you should be. Because there's a lot of that out there. And somewhere along in the culture, all these things got out of balance. And it's going to take the word of God to get them back on track. And people who are receptive to the word and will receive that word can get their life back on track. You might, they should say it's tight, but it's right. It's going to take some challenging on your part, you challenging yourself to be better. But if you don't do it, life just going to be the same way it's always been. I want to be challenged, man. Amen. And it doesn't feel good to be challenged, but it's necessary to be challenged. Amen. It's good to be challenged. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to stop right there. But I want to ask this question this morning. And again, we're not here to judge, condemn anybody. But if you know your standards have been lowered, you really haven't been living by the standards that God desires for your life, I just want to pray with you and add our faith to yours to help you rise to a higher standard so you can experience God's best for your life. Amen. Because, you know, again, we all got things in our life that we're working on, getting better at. You know, we'll all be learning till Jesus come or we die. You know, but we want to help you get there. As a church family, you know, one can chase off 1,000, but two in agreement can chase off 10,000. So imagine what a whole church family in agreement together praying for you can do for your life. Amen. So if that's you and you know your standard, you need to say, Pat, I need to raise my standards up a little higher. Just raise your hand right where you are. Hallelujah.